Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that your word is always good, even when sometimes it's hard to hear. I always think of the words of the prophet Isaiah that you spoke through him, saying that your thoughts and your ways are higher than ours. And I know that your plans for us are always good. All of Scripture is breathed out by you, and it is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training us up in righteousness, so that we may be able to serve you, so that we may be equipped for every good work. So, Lord, do just that this morning. Even when it's hard to hear, may our ears be open, may our hearts be soft to receive what is actually a good blessing sent from you to do the work which you have purposed for it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning we are continuing through the book of Exodus. And for those of you who haven't been here with us, what we do is we pick a book of the Bible, and then we just walk either verse by verse or passage by passage. And we have seen that the Israelites have been set free from Egypt, right? They crossed through the Red Sea on Easter Sunday last week. They are a new people following God. And so that's where we pick up our story this morning. That the Israelites are now following God in the wilderness. And with the book of Exodus, Timothy has been helping us to really dig deep into what does it mean to be a disciple. So we've been using Exodus with this title of Delivered into Discipleship. And with each Sunday, we've been looking to ask and answer the question, who are we becoming? First Presbyterian Church, who are we becoming? And as a disciple, we are on a journey with Jesus, and our aim is to become like Jesus in order to do the things that Jesus did. So this morning, we will find the Israelites at the beginning of their wilderness journey. They have just been set free from slavery, they've been delivered out of Egypt, and they are now new to following God. And so God is going to use this time in the wilderness to grow their trust in him. Over the next few weeks, we will see the Israelites face difficulty in the desert, where we will see their response, and then we will see God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness over and over. So let us turn to the word of God. We're in Exodus chapter 15, verses 22 through 27. The title from the NIV translation, the title for this little passage is Bitter Water Made Sweet. Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness, and they found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter. Therefore, it found its name Marah. And the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made for them a statute and a rule. There he tested them, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God, do which is right in his eyes, give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord your healer." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So the Israelites are newly freed. They're in unfamiliar territory, and they are traveling a new road. They come to a place called Marah. They find themselves in need, and they grumble. They grumble. They've literally just seen the hand of God part the Red Sea. They've walked through on dry land. He's taken care of their enemies. And here today, it's 3 days later, they're hungry and they grumble. I think it's easy sometimes to read the Bible and kind of wag our fingers at the people of the past. But on Sunday morning, we hear sing of God's unfailing love, and how quickly do we turn our focus to our lack. Have you ever on Sunday morning praised, and then by Wednesday, you're grumbling? It's easy for our perspective to shift, for us to forget his abundant grace and focus on our lack. There's only one person who ever journeyed the desert, faced difficulty, and responded with dependence and trust rather than grumbling. If you remember, Jesus himself faced temptation in the wilderness. His response was trust and obedience to the Father. So we're going to look deeper at this beginning of Israel's journey this morning. And I'm going to ask you to consider your own journey, your own walk with Jesus. And my prayer is that our answer to our question, who are we becoming, would be, we are becoming a people who can trust the Father is good. He is for our good, even when life doesn't feel good. We are becoming people who trust his character and his love for us, even when life seems bitter. And life seems bitter. This morning, I'm asking you again to think of your own life, and I'm going to share a little bit from mine, from the past couple of years. Confession, I really struggled with knowing that I was going to speak on this passage today. Earlier in the week, when I was sitting at my desk here at the church, and I knew it had come time, I had to start preparing something. My husband, Sam, was in my office, and I said to him, Sam, how do I preach when I don't have an answer? When I read a passage, and I don't know if I have any good news to share. How do I preach when I feel like I'm there in Marah? With a glass or heart full of bitter water. And Sam responded, maybe you're the perfect person to teach because you are there. And Sam wasn't the first person I asked these questions to. I knew that I was going to be preaching on this passage way back when we were still at the end of Luke. And so I've been asking God the same question for quite some time. Because Timothy, Bo, and I sat down and the passage was set. I knew it was going to be my turn. I was chosen. The task was set before me. So this week came and I said, okay, how do I respond in faithfulness? I found myself like Israel and like Jesus in the wilderness. So faithfulness looks like following Jesus. And so I'm going to do what Jesus did in the wilderness, and I'm leaned into the Father to give me an answer. Follow Jesus' teaching when he says for us to ask, seek, and knock. So I trusted that the Father would provide. And he did. He always does. Great is his faithfulness. When life is hard, when we find ourselves in painful or difficult situations, we seek words of comfort, right? We're in a hard spot and we want someone to comfort us with words. But have you ever been there in the midst of disappointment, pain or suffering, only to hear these words, "Oh, life has given you lemons. Guess you're just going to have to make lemonade." Or, "Wow, yeah, that is a hard hand you've been dealt. Just keep playing the game." Or have you ever been told this one? "Just give it time. Time heals all things." Whatever you've walked through, I'm sorry. And if you've ever been told those words when you're walking through it, I'm sorry. Because those words are not helpful. They are not comforting. But I do know that words can help. His word can always help. When we're in a valley, sometimes it's not just the words, but it's also who's giving you the words, the person that can be comforting or not. Right? Words seem kind of cheap from the mouth of the person who's never had hardship themselves. So as I've struggled with my own time of bitterness, as I've been longing for encouragement, and as I sought good news to share with you this morning, I turned to the Apostle Paul. Because if there's ever anyone who knew suffering, who knew pain, it's Paul. Oftentimes, his most encouraging words came from a place of prison or shipwreck. So that's why I used 1 Thessalonians as our words to open this morning. "Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances." So what I want to do this morning is actually take those three commands that Paul gives us and lay them over top of our story in Exodus. And then I'll share a little bit from my own journey as well. So rejoice always. When I hear "rejoice" and then "give thanks" at the end, for a long time I thought those kind of were the same thing. So he's like, thank him, pray, thank him again. But when I looked up the word "rejoice" in the dictionary, it doesn't say to be thankful. It says things like this: joy, gladness, celebration, merrymaking, to rejoice. And Paul here tells us to rejoice always. Well, sometimes it's hard to feel like celebrating or merrymaking when you're walking through a struggle. So one commentator breaks down the Greek translation, the original word of rejoice. And he says that it means to be favorably dispossessed to God's grace. So it's much more similar to the word grace and joy. And so this kind of struck me. It's not just showing great joy or delight, but it's experiencing God's grace. And therefore, we can have joy. Rejoicing always, especially when it's hard, that's unexplainable. Because it's not dependent on us or our circumstances. And that's what I started to see. Grace, joy, peace. These things that would be very hard to have in a time of tribulation. Well, that's because they come from outside of us. Those three things are attributes of God. And so if we will stop trying to fix our situation, our circumstances, that relationship, this problem, when we stop trying to fix and we just simply focus on God, when we will hold him, when we look on him, when we think of his character, we can just breathe. So that's what I did this week, is I just fixed my eyes on him. Rejoice always. Pray continually. I'm going to go back to the scripture with this one, because we do see examples of prayer, or an example of prayer, in our passage. So if we go back to verses 24 and 25, we see that the people grumble. Moses try to the Lord. So when unmet expectations happened and disappointment showed up, the Israelites panicked and they grumbled. That's their response. They grumble to Moses. Which is interesting, right? They grumble to Moses. But I will say that the Israelites have two good things going for them. A, they are with Moses. And so something I meant to say before I even started with this. Rejoicing always, praying continually, and giving thanks always, we have to do that in community. We cannot do it alone. The enemy wants to isolate us. He wants us to feel like when we're at our worst that we are all alone. So get in community. You're here in community this morning. And that's what we have to do. So for the Israelites, they have that going for them. They are with Moses. And then the other thing about the Israelites, I don't want to be too harsh on them because, again, they are new at following God. He is using the wilderness to build their trust. This is trust training for them. And so right now, their reality is when hardship comes, they grumble. But where God wants to grow them is that us saying that life is not what it ought to be, there's actually something good in that. Right? So he's going to take them from grumbling to what's called lamenting. And so we can look around us and say, the world is not how it should be. And we can voice that to God. And he's going to train them in how to do that. Right? They've grumbled to Moses, but he's going to show them the right response. And being here with Moses, they see the right response. Right? Moses comes to difficulty. And he cried to the Lord. And the Lord answered, right? The Lord desires, in verse 26, at the end of 26, he desires to be known as our healer. So Moses knows that God is capable, so it is God that he cries to, and God gives him an answer. And Moses acts in obedience, right? Even when it makes no sense, right? Here's a stick and throw it in the water. Well, that seems silly, but Moses did it. He was obedient, and the people witnessed a miracle. And so they needed to be in community. God is growing their trust by allowing them to watch Moses, right? They grumble. God does not respond with anger. He responds with grace, with a miracle here, and they witness it because of Moses' obedience. So pray continually. Cry out to the Lord. He wants to be known. He's seeking, desiring to be known. So cry out to him. And again, do this in community. Within the past 2 weeks, not this past, but the Wednesday before, I had two separate people in my community of faith reach out to me. And they said, one of them called me and said, you have been heavy on my heart, and I need to pray for you. And so she prayed for me over the phone. The other one wasn't okay with the phone call. She sought me out. She came and found me at the church, and she said, you have been heavy on my heart for days. I have to pray for you. And I was a little weary of that. That made me a little uncomfortable, and I wasn't forthcoming with what I needed prayer for. But then, this past week, on Tuesday, as I'm trying to prepare for this, one of those two women reached back out to me and said, I think you need prayer. And this time I was forthcoming, thinking of my own words, right? Practice what you preach. Pray continually in community. And so it was Sherry Schumann, and if y'all know her, what a prayer warrior she is. I said, Sherry, I'm going to be honest to you this time. This is what I need. And I told her the passage I was preaching on and that I didn't feel equipped because I was in a season of bitterness. And we got off the phone, and I know that she began praying. Because y'all, within moments, I could feel myself, my gaze, coming off of my circumstance and going to eternity. And I almost laughed out loud at what I had been walking through. Pray at works. So get in with people who will pray for you when you can't pray for yourself. Pray continually and do it in community. And give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I recognize that this one is real hard. It's hard to be thankful when you're walking through disappointment, despair, or devastation. Lisa Turkis, I bought myself a devotion for Christmas, and I've been kind of going through it. It's been very helpful in this season. And she says that when we can't find our own footing, when our faith and our feelings are at battle, then we need to get beside someone who is in a different season of life. We need to stand beside someone who is lifting their hands in praise and shouting the faithfulness of God. And this is why I love being Presbyterian. It's why I love our liturgy. Because that's what we do every Sunday, right? Every first Sunday of the month, we have communion. A practice, a communal practice of remembering what I am so very thankful for. His forgiveness, his salvation. And then the affirmation of faith. Every Sunday, we recite words of our faith. And today, we'll recite the Nicene Creed, and the very last line says, I believe, I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. I can be thankful for my future and for my hope. I can be thankful of what God has done for me in the past, and I can be thankful for my future even when my present is still painful. I'm so thankful for our liturgy. And I'm thankful for words of Pastor Timothy. Timothy says this quite often, that our worst day is not our last day. When you are on your very worst day, remember that it is not your last day. And that woman, Lisa, from the devotion, she says it this way. You may be facing delay, distraction, or even devastation for a season, but this is not your final destination. Right, last Sunday, we celebrated Easter. His resurrection power has the final say. This was encouraging to me, so maybe it will be for you too, to hear this. Doubt does not have the final say. Heartbreak does not have the final say. Disease doesn't have the final say. Alcohol, addiction, does not have the final say. Death does not have the final say. The grave is empty and our God is alive. He desires to be known as our healer. So take heart, because he will heal. Miraculously, eventually, or ultimately. I can be thankful for his victory over the enemy today. So he has victory over the enemy. But what about when God is the one leading us through something difficult? Right? I think sometimes in the Christian circle we want to think that every bad thing comes from the enemy. Well, that's not so, right? In our passage today, that's not so. Sometimes it is our good shepherd who leads us to the valley, calls us to follow him into the desert, to worship him in the wilderness. A detail from Exodus 5 from a few weeks ago I want us to remind us of. God said to Pharaoh, let my people go that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness. The God of the Hebrews has met with us. This is skipped down to verse 3 of chapter 5. Let us go a 3-day journey into the wilderness. Y'all, in our passage today, they've gone 3 days and found no water. 3 days that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. He wants us to worship him in the wilderness. Tony Meredith says this of our passage today. Going through the wilderness was not necessary for Israel's salvation. but it is necessary for their sanctification. For them and for us to look more like Jesus, we need our journey in the wilderness. It's there that we learn to respond with greater dependence on the Father. God is training us in trust, just like he was training the Israelites in trust. And our lack is where we depend on him. Our God desires to be known as our healer, our provider, our guide, our savior, our constant companion, and our friend. He is and he can be when we stop trying to be. He is much better at being God than we are. This is what I learned over the past week. And that's good news. And then just to close, for me personally, as I've done a lot of reflecting over the past week, I realized that the desert path I thought I was walking alone, well, it had more than just one traveler walking with me. The laser focus I had on my thirst, my lack, limited me from seeing clearly. I thought the water I had come to on my journey was bitter, but the Lord was there with me. And he used the other thirsty, weary traveler, my husband, to pour this life-giving water into my soul. In January, Sam began memorizing scripture, and this was the very first verse, and I reflected on it this week. More words from Paul. This is the verse that Sam recited kind of over and over again. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So good news for me to share with you this morning. God is good. He is for our good. And he is good at being God. So when we rejoice and pray and thank him, when we make a choice to continue walking with him, even in, especially in the wilderness, he receives this as our worship. Friends, may we be living sacrifices as we become people who live like we trust that the Father is good, that he is for our good, even when life doesn't feel good. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.